This is The Naked Scientists with me, Helen Scales.
And I'm Ben Valsler. I'm going to kick off this week with a story about an analysis of the genome of the western clawed frog, that's Xenopus tropicalis. It was published in the journal Science this week, and it marks the very first amphibian genome to be sequenced. Uffe Helston and colleagues at the Department of Energy Joint Genome Institute in Walnut Creek report the finding that nearly 80% of genes associated with human diseases have their counterpart in the frog's genome, which is roughly the same number of coding genes, the frog genome, compared to our own.
OK, so why this particular frog? Why the western clawed frog? And come to think of it, why any frog at all?
Well, the western clawed frog itself is particularly interesting for a number of reasons. Firstly, being the first amphibian to be sequenced, it helps us to understand the full range of vertebrate genes. We've already got the rat, the chicken, the zebrafish and the human genome, so we're sort of filling a gap in the vertebrate family tree. Also, the world's amphibians are under threat at the moment, with populations in serious decline. This genome may help us to understand some of the problems that amphibians currently face, and so give us clues as to how to prevent further losses. But the western clawed frog itself is more than just an example of its class, the class Amphibia. It's of particular interest to us because it's biologically very similar to its cousin, the African clawed frog, or Xenopus levis. The African clawed frog has been vital to our understanding of embryology since it was used for pregnancy testing back in the 1940s. It has very large, very sturdy and very easily manipulated eggs, and so both it and its smaller relative, the western clawed frog, rapidly became some of the most popular organisms in embryology.
OK, I'm convinced frogs are important, but what have we learned so far?
Well, the frog's genome is remarkably similar to that of the chicken, or to our own, in its basic structure. For example, frog genes have very similar neighbours when compared with human genes, around about 90% of the time. We last shared a common ancestor with frogs around 360 million years ago, but there are around 1,700 genes in the frog genome that are very similar to disease-related human genes. Frogs are known to produce their own antibiotic compounds, which helps to keep their moist skin free from infection. And we've already identified some of the genes responsible for that, which is a very nice step forward. And the researchers were very surprised to see a very large proportion of mobile genetic elements called transposons. These are elements that can move around the genome, and they account for about a third of the genome in frogs. They generally don't code for a protein like a normal gene would, but they're involved in controlling the way that the genes themselves work, including reorganising the genes in the chromosomes. It's going to take a bit more research to really work out what the implications of that are.
And what's going to be the next step? What's next, really, with this?
Well, it will create new ways to look at human development and disease, as well as act as a scaffolding for sequencing the larger African clawed frog genome. It will also help in the process of what's been called chromosomal archaeology, allowing us to piece together the story of vertebrate chromosomes and how they developed to give us the incredible variety of species that we see today.
I love the sound of chromosomal archaeology. It sounds like a lot of fun.